Hello and a warm welcome to the Sweet Spot, your go-to golf tipping show brought to you by The Racing Post. 2024 is here, an exciting week of golf awaits. We'll be looking forward to the Sony Open in Hawaii and the brand new Dubai Invitational. But first, we shall be looking back on what was nearly the dream start to a brand new year, Steve Palmer. In the century, it was won by Chris Kirk. But we were on Sahith Theegala, second place, 66-1. Boy, did he get the blood rushing.
Yeah, the blood has been rushing this year. It's been a pretty manic start to the year. Wednesday night was fantastic, of course. Luke Humphreys winning the World Darts Championship. We won't talk about darts anymore on a golf podcast. But then the Sunday night, which followed, was extremely challenging because, excitement levels were high. Sahith Theegala at one stage, I thought, was going to get the job done. And then Chris Kirk did us at the end there.
Let's talk about Chris Kirk, Steve, because, you know, obviously most Sweet Spot viewers will be coming at this from a Theegala angle, and that's absolutely fair enough. But Chris Kirk's story is one of hope, isn't it? And I think that was his sixth PGA Tour win, but he obviously had that sustained period where he took a break from the game with his various issues that he was facing and back and looked very convincing in winning.
Yeah, he was asked in his media conference afterwards whether it bothers him still, people still referring to this issue, but he says the complete opposite. He knows that was a significant part of his life. He's a reformed alcoholic, for anyone who hasn't followed the story. Since he's put the booze behind him, he was going to put golf behind him at one stage. He was going to quit golf. He was so, messed up mentally. But, he's stone cold sober now. And, his golf game is going from strength to strength. And that approach shot on the 17th hole, that was the killer blow for Theegala backers on Sunday night. On the 17th hole, he was 209 yards away from the pin. Yeah, the 17th is a really difficult hole and an amazing approach shot, nestled right next to the flag for birdie. So, that was the moment that we knew we were done. Chris Kirk didn't drop a shot all day. It was so infuriating for Theegala backers. Sahith Theegala made 10 birdies on Sunday and it wasn't enough to topple Chris Kirk. I mean, let's look at Thigala's round scores, Jack, just to tease us rotten. 64, 69, 68, 63, 28 under par. That would have been enough to win 88% of the previous editions of the century at Kapalua. So 88% of the time we would have been happy, But because Chris Kirk got one shot better, we weren't happy. Yeah, it's fine margins in this game. I don't know how much you watch his late night stuff. Bruce never used to watch the late night stuff, did you?
No, I think Bruce did stay up actually because I haven't seen it, so I saw it the following morning. It's something stupid like 20 past midnight. So I think retired life is treating him quite well. But it's remarkable this tournament, Steve, isn't it? Because of the low scoring, element to it, the leaderboard, particularly in the mid kind of pack, changes so often. I missed a couple of the early stages of the rounds and would kind of just check on my phone, and players were flip flopping like crazy. It's a remarkable tournament.
It is, and fortunately, it finishes a little bit earlier than it used to. It used to be a 3 a.m. finish for us, but they're so desperate for viewing figures these days in their battle with Liv that they brought it a little bit earlier, and it finished about 1 a.m. So that was a little bit of mercy for UK viewers. But such fine margins in this game, and the moment that lives with me was on the Saturday. There was Theegala was putting for eagle on the fifth hole and he left it woefully short and he three putted and he made a par. And as you say, in a low scoring event like that, you three putt par fives, they're the moments that, stop all your, he was riding the crest of a wave. And then he suddenly in round two and three, there was a little stalling, Scott Stallings. And I would never forget. I would literally never forget that three part of the fifth in round three. And then of course the birdie putt, you must have seen the birdie putt by now on the 72nd hole. His second shot at the 72nd hole, he was most disappointed with. He flared out to the right a little bit, couldn't get the chip close enough. And then the birdie putt lipped out. But the thing is, Jack, you were talking about New Year's resolutions last week. I've decided if I have got one, I don't really go for that sort of thing. I don't know whether you, have you got any? Tell me if you.
Mine's just to be happy. And I think that's quite a broad one. I'm trying to eat a little bit better. I'm trying not to drink as much on weekdays. And other than that, I think that will set the foundations quite strong.
I think it's important not to have too many. I mean, if, you know, anything you're planning to do in the new year, you should have done the last year. Just, yeah, just, but I'm not going to get my knickers in a twist this year. That's my New Year's resolution, not to get my knickers in a twist. Because I woke up yesterday morning, I was very proud of myself because, you know, it would have been great to have started the year with a 66-1 winner. You know, when Thigala hit the top of the leaderboard, I was, you know, Disney World was on my radar. It would have been, it would have been fantastic. But I didn't have a 66-1 winner and I just move on. Like I woke up yesterday morning, I'd moved on completely. My New Year's resolution is to not let my knickers get in a twist in 2024 because, you know, I've been in this golf betting game for so long. I've seen it all before. I've got no excuse to be upset. You know, I've got no excuse to be upset. You know, those sort of things happen. You lost by a shot, you know, just get on with it. So
And Steve, two of your favourite sports in golf and darts. I mean, talk about fine margins. I mean, there was that moment, wasn't there? I know you were on Luke Humphreys from the very start. But, you know, Luke Littler could have gone 5-2 up if it was, you know, his arrow had of the point of his dart had finished quarter of a centimetre above the double two. So, you know, sometimes they go your way, sometimes they don't. I like this new mentality you've got. You seem calm and composed. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it too. Yeah. My knickers are going to remain firmly in place all year, all day, all year. Yeah, unruffled knickers. That's my New Year's resolution.
Brilliant. How are you faring, actually, on a slight tangent, in the shed? Because we've got a bit of a cold snap in the UK at the moment, haven't we? Is it warm enough in there? I am slightly concerned about your welfare this time of the year.
Yeah, it's horrible, isn't it? This is a real cold snap, yeah. Yeah, I come in this morning, it's on zero, and then, you know, get the heaters working. As soon as I get the double figures, I'm okay. But, desperate times, isn't it? We need it to warm up again. We got 2 months of this ahead of us. Have you had any snow?
We had snow yesterday. It didn't settle. Snow's not quite the same as I think it used to be when you were in school, and you sort of used to huddle around the radio, didn't you, on the local radio station, hoping that your school would be read out, but it's closed.
Yeah.
And you can't really, now we're working from home, you've got no excuse. You can't say to your boss, I'm not logging on today, I'm off to build a snowman, can you?
I don't think you can. But no, there won't be any snow in Hawaii this week. You know, it shows how strange this planet is, isn't it? You know, snowing over here, and then we're going to be watching golfing action from two really sunny locations this week. Actually, Dubai, the weather forecast in Dubai. Yeah, you're a regular there, and it's sublime this week, and it's similar in Hawaii.
Always is. Any last notes that you've jotted down from last week's tournament?
I think it would be cruel on Sung Jae-im to not give him a mention. I mean, he broke a record last week for total birdies in a PGA Tour event. He made 34 birdies last week, Sung Jae-im. That was a new record that we must note. Surprised he's not bothering with the Sony, really. It would have been interesting running for the Sony.
We will be previewing that shortly. But before that, should we go to Dubai, Steve?
Yes, keep the chronology. That's my motto.
Dubai Invitational at Dubai Creek. Really looking forward to this one. A new event on the tour. Talk us through Dubai Creek, Steve.
Yes, Dubai Creek Resort, Dubai, United Arab Emirates. Only 7,059 yards. Par 71, three par fives. It hosted the Dubai Desert Classic in 1999 and 2000. Long time ago. The front nine has been revised since then, but the back nine is pretty much the same layout. It's an unusual desert track in that it's got loads of water hazards. The closing stretch runs alongside the creek, and the rough was really juicy back in those desert classics in 99 and 2000. So you've got to hit it straight here. And the leaderboards from those two desert classics highlight the type of player we should be backing, because the 2000 event was won by Jose Caceres. You know, and really neat and tidy player he was. Just behind him on the leaderboard were the likes of Paul McGinley, Patrick Sholand, Paul Laurie, Jamie Spence. You know, accurate players who putt well. I actually spoke to Jamie Spence yesterday about this course. Yeah, I spoke to him about this course because I noticed he was fourth there. He finished fourth there, and it brought out all these old demons, because he says that's the one he's never got over. He was absolutely gutted. Yeah, he was heartbroken he didn't win that
Never one. Bring up a man's trauma, Steve. You should know that.
24 years ago, and he's still not over it. He said he went absolutely psycho in the locker room. He said, I was a psycho back in those days. He said he destroyed the locker room in anger. He's calmed down a bit since then. But that shows the sort of player we're looking for. He was a classic fairway finder and an exceptional putter. That's what we want this week, okay? You know, loose shots will be punished.
And someone who's not going to smash up the locker room as well. let's take a look through the top of the market, Steve. A resounding favourite in the shape of Rory McIlroy, around about 5-2 at the moment. Tommy Fleetwood, 13-2. Nikolai Højgaard, some good memories for sweet spot viewers of him of recent times, 10-1. Adrian Maronk, 14s. Rasmus Højgaard, the same price. Ryan Fox, 16-1. Bigger the rest. Dubai Invitational, Steve Palmer. How many selections?
Well, we must say we've got 60 runners in this and there's no cut. And we've got three selections. We're going for the each way money with three selections. Well, we're going for the win. But I prefer the tactic of avoiding those. There's loads of short prices at the top of the market, particularly Rory McIlroy, as you mentioned. But we're going for an each way attack on three bigger prizes.
I like the sound of it, Steve. Who's the main tip?
It's Yannick Paul at 28-1. Who has become one of the most dependable ball strikers on the DP World Tour. He's pretty straight off the tee. He's a brilliant iron player. I see this as a test of precision, as discussed. Yannick Paul should churn out greens in regulation, avoid the water, avoid that rough. He came close to qualifying for the Ryder Cup last year. He won the Mallorca Open in October 2022. He's had two runner-up finishes on the DP World Tour since then. He was sixth in the French Open in September. Le Golf National is a test of accuracy. Water hazards everywhere. It's a similar assignment to this one, I feel. His last two visits to this region have been solid. 27th in the Qatar Masters in October. 27th again in the DP World Tour Championship. And Yannick Paul's played a lot of desert golf. He lived in Colorado for a long time. He went to the University of Colorado. He won the Arizona Open in 2020. He's really comfortable playing desert golf. And I think this particular track looks right up his alley. And the icing on the cake. Lovely bit
we
of
love
icing.
We oh, love icing here on the
have some
spot.
Of this. Have some of this. He got engaged in Dubai in November. There's some lovely pictures
on the icing.
That's the icing. I know it's very light icing. I know. But if you go on Instagram, there's a lovely pictures of his engagement party in Dubai with his spectacular bride to be. Good vibes. Yannick Paul got good vibes about Dubai. Yeah, he's there in November. He's back there now. Good vibes. Feel the flow, Yannick.
I think one of the most remarkable traits about you, Steve, and of course there are many, you're a very talented man, but your ability to stay across golf, I wouldn't say gossip, but kind of celebrity culture, because, if you're talking about Hollywood, it's set. You've got like Hello Magazine and OK Magazine. It's all there. The daily exploits of Yannick Paul are slightly more difficult to find. But you know when they're having kids, you know when they're getting married, you know where it's happened. It's incredible how you stay across it.
Yeah, particularly as I'm not on any social media. I saw one of these sort of voyeurs who do. I never let anyone know what I'm doing, but I like to watch. There's a wonderful picture of him gazing into the eyes of his bride-to-be in Dubai. And I think he's feeling the flow as Yannick Paul. Life's going well for him. And I think at 28-1, he's better value than those market leaders.
Yannick Paul, main selection for the Dubai Invitational. Who's up next?
Jorge Campillo, 45-1. Who always enjoys his Middle East adventures on the DP World Tour. He won the Qatar Masters in 2020. He was second in that event in October last year, lost a playoff to Sami Välimäki. He was second in the 2019 Qatar Masters. He was second in the 2019 Oman Open. He was ninth in the 2016 DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. He was fourth in the 2014 Oman Open. I could literally go on and on. This is a proven desert rat here, Jack. We're talking about a proven desert rat. We're talking about a neat and tidy player, ideally suited to Dubai Creek. We're talking about a three-time DP World Tour champion, a 37-year-old who is probably a bit underrated. I think I've been guilty of underestimating him in the past. He's an unflashy player, but he had a great amateur career in the States, and he's been an effective DP World Tour performer ever since. So we need to respect Jorge Campillo a bit more, I think. He had six top tens on the DP World Tour last year, including a victory in the Kenya Open. But I think he's the sort for this track. You think Jose Casillas, you think Jamie Spence, you think Jorge Campillo.
Jorge Campillo, he goes in the bracket of players for me. Calming. Watch him, it soothes me. Some people are into their yoga, aren't they, and breath work. Watch Campillo. I think that's just as effective.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, he is so It just looks like nothing's ruffling him in life, does he? No. He just glides along, and he's quite happy picking up his DP World Tour bucks and living close to home. And you know, a lot of these players chase money, don't they? You know, Robert McIntyre was sort of umming and ahhing over whether to go to the PGA Tour when he accepted his PGA Tour card. You know, Jorge Campillo, if he got a PGA Tour card, would he go? I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah, I find comfort in just watching him standing there, getting ready to take a shot. Don't you? Just looking at Jorge Campillo. He just always looks so sort of relaxed and content. I used to get off on Phil Taylor throwing darts. Like the rhythm of that used to relax
me. Yeah.
Because he's slow, but it was all at the same pace. Boom, boom, boom. And that used to be how I relaxed, just watching Phil Taylor throw darts. But
I liked Phil. Whenever Phil Taylor released the tungsten, his eyebrows would go up, wouldn't they? I quite like that. I used to enjoy it. You say you've been guilty of underrating Campillo. Why is that? What's caused that?
I think so. I think I have, because I think I've been seduced by flashier types in the past. You know, I like my players to have a bit of power and a bit of dynamism. But as you say, Jorge just sort of plods around the golf course, does his business. But on certain tracks, that business is very effective. And I think we've got one this week.
45-1, Jorge Campillo. Second selection for Steve in the Dubai Invitational. Who's the third and final pick this week?
It's Nathan Kimsey at 55-1. An improving 30-year-old Englishman, accurate driver, really accurate off the tee, finds fairways and greens. Dubai Creek sets up well for him. Maybe it'll be the scene of a maiden DP World Tour title on Sunday. He's won twice on the Challenge Tour in 2022, and he lost a player for the Barbasol Championship last year in July. You probably remember that one. Vincent Norman won that one. Yeah. Co-sanctioned PGA Tour event. He swaggered over to America and almost won that. Very impressive. And then he was third in the Spanish Open in October. This is a solid player, getting better all the time. And I think that's a healthy each way price, 55-1 in it, in a small field.
Yeah, you mentioned there the small field. I'm sure there will be plenty, Steve, who sees the name Rory McIlroy in Dubai against a slightly weaker field than he's probably used to, and just go, that's my pick for this week. What was the reason you haven't gone that way?
I'd rather go for the each way money with my three. You know, go in the various each way extra markets, get your eight places. They're easy to get eight places these days. There's lots of chaff in this market as well. If you get a decent price runner in the places, you've done your job, and you're going to potentially make more than if you back Rory, depending on your stakes, of course. McIlroy hasn't played since finishing 22nd of 50 in the DP World Tour Championship in the middle of November. It's a long time ago. He was testing a new driver that week, you remember. I think he would have had loads of time off over Christmas. You know, this was not a straightforward year, was it? A lot of politics that you alluded to last week. He was embroiled in such a lot of politics. I think at the end of Christmas, he would have been letting his hair down, surely. I think the Jägermeister would have been flowing at McIlroy Towers. Rory loves a Jägermeister. we don't know how much he's been practicing. We don't know the state of his game. You know, he probably sees this as a gentle warm-up for next week. You know, we must mention this, the Dubai Desert Classic next week, Rolex Series event at a course which we know really suits him. You know, Dubai Creek doesn't play to McIlroy's strength, so I can swerve the short prices, especially as politics will be back on the agenda this week in the pre-tournament media conferences. I don't know if you've been following his comments lately. But
well, I watched the video he filmed with Roy Keane and Gary Neville. Have you seen that on Sky Sports? So that was quite a good watch. He seemed relatively relaxed and sort of laid back about the whole LIV thing. Now it almost feels like he's not given up on it, but just accepted the fate.
Well, in political terms, yeah, they're often talking about this at the dispatch box in the House of Commons. He's made some dramatic U-turns, hasn't he? They're always in the House of Commons going, U-turn, U-turn, U-turn. And yeah, I think the any reporter worth their salt in Dubai this week will be addressing these U-turns, because McIlroy said he's been too judgmental. He said he was too judgmental about the LIV Golf. And he said that we need to change our Ryder Cup rules to allow John Rahm to play. These are U-turns. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen Greg Norman's interviews the last few days. He's been jumping on this. He's all excited now about Rory softening his stance on LIV. So I think, politics is on the agenda for the pre-tournament media conference. Yeah, and I think McIlroy might have a bit of rust in his system. Obviously, he can outclass his field, but I'm not prepared to play at 11-4, given the doubts that are there. It's like similar with Scheffler last week, short price, most likely winner, but there's some doubts in there for me.
Oh, fair enough. You've got my mind on Jägermeister, Steve. I haven't thought about that for a while. Were you a Jäger bomb man in your youth?
Not my cup of tea. No. I had one on my wedding day, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, one of my sort of new relatives encouraged me to have a Jäger bomb just before my first dance. And I've gone off them ever since. Yeah, I don't fancy them. But I know Rory had a Jäger bomb out of the claret jug after he won the. I believe, after he won the Open Championship. He's a big fan of the Jäger bombs. But, yeah, I just think he would have let his hair down over Christmas. And there's no need to rush back, was there, and practice hard for the Dubai Invitational. I mean, surely this is a gentle warm-up. He obviously can still win, but I've no interest in getting involved at short prices on him.
We shall see. We'll recap all of Steve's selections at the end of the show. But before that, let's take a look at the Sony Open back in Hawaii. Looking forward to this one. Steve, where are we? Talk us through the course layout this week.
Waialae Country Club, Honolulu, Hawaii. 7,044 yards, par 70, only two par fives. It's been the host since 1965. Thin fairway, small greens, but the lack of length means it can be destroyed in calm weather. Justin Thomas, you'll remember, a card at a 59 here, on his way to victory in 2017. So straight hitters can make merry here. It's a plodder's paradise. If you look at the honours board, you'll see that David Toms, Paul Goidos, Zach Johnson, Mark Wilson, Johnson Wagner, Fabian Gomez, Matt Kuchar, unflashy types. Jorge Campillo will enjoy himself here. Unflashy types have done well here. But we've had some early week storms. Some more showers are forecast for Thursday evening. So the terrain is quite soft. Gentle breezes expected here. I think we're going to get an absolute birdie fest. You know, bad putters need not apply. 144 going to post.
Really looking forward to this one. Let's run through the top of the market for here. Steve's thoughts. Mats Fitzpatrick, Ludvig Åberg, joint favourites at time of recording. Around about 16-1. Tyrrell Hatton in Hawaii, 18-1. Russell Henley, 20s. Brian Harman, same price. Corey Connors, 25-1. Bigger the rest. A competitive market, this one. Steve Palmer, how many selections?
Five selections.
Five tips for the Sony Open in Hawaii. Let's get through these. Who's the main one?
Brian Harman, 20-1. 17 of the 25 Sony Open winners played at Kapalua the previous week. 8 of the last 10 Sony Open winners played at Kapalua the previous week. I know you're talking about typically good players here who tee up in the century, but we're also talking about the likes of Fabian Gomez, Patton Kazeri, Kevin Na. They all won the Sony after playing in the century. There is clear evidence for me that getting a competitive run out in Maui before heading to Honolulu is a significant edge. All five of my selections played in the century last week. And I think Brian Harman is the best of them. I think he's going to lift the trophy on Sunday. This assignment, an ideal fit for him. You know, a short, fiddly track, which is going to put a premium on short game class more than ever, I think, this week. I think we're in for another extremely low-scoring event. I want players who warmed up in the century. I want players who putt well, you know, can reach this super low winning total we're going to get at Waialae. You know, Harman, great putter. That flat stick was purring last week. He finished fifth in the century last week, closed with a 64. He's threatened to win the Sony before. 13th in 2015, 13th in 2016, 4th. In 2018, but now he arrives as a major champion, a Ryder Cupper. He's gone to a new level in the last 6 months, hasn't he, Brian Harman? You know, he played well just before that Open victory. He's played well after the Open victory. He scored 2 points on a Ryder Cup team that got thrashed. He believes in himself more than ever now. You can see he's world number nine, for Pete's sake. I think a fourth PGA Tour title is coming for Brian Harman Sunday.
I was going to say, what have you made of Harman since that major victory? And, you know, he's not, I guess it sums Harman up. He's hardly sort of, you know, been in the spotlight week in, week out, but he's just quietly gone about his business. And as you read out there, I mean, fairly convincing in his time since.
He's not resting on his laurels, is he? And, you know, he enjoys himself away from the course. He likes his hunting and whatnot, doesn't he? So I think, you know, in the close season, he would have got away from golf. But, you know, last week, fifth on return in the century. Yeah, it as a lovely warm up for a more suitable event this week.
Absolutely. We don't need to talk about it at length, but of all the hobbies you could pick, and you pick hunting, I mean, that's such a poor choice, isn't it? Anyway, yeah. Brian Harman, 20-1 for the Sony Open. Steve Palmer's main selection. Four more to go. Who's up next?
Eric Cole, 30-1, the PGA Tour Rookie of the Year. Yeah, Ludwig Aubert was probably quite harshly treated in that award ceremony, I might suggest. But there's no denying how consistent Eric Cole was last year. A runner-up finish in the Honda Classic was followed by fifth spot in the Mexico Open, 15th in the USPGA, sixth in the Canadian Open, fourth in the Fortinet Championship, third in the Shriners, second in the Zozo, third in the RSM Classic. You have to respect that consistency. Surely he'll get over the line in front on the PGA Tour at some stage soon. He was a prolific champion in the lower grades before he became a PGA Tour star. He's a 35-year-old at the peak of his powers now. His approach play is excellent. His short game is top class. He finished 14th on his century debut last week, closed with a 65. He was ranked 383rd in the world for his Sony debut 12 months ago, tied 61st. He's returned this week as world number 39. He's by far the most dangerous maiden in attendance.
Talk about names going extinct. Eric must be one of them. There's not many Erics born nowadays, are there?
No. I always think of Banana Man when you talk about Eric. Remember, you might be too young for Banana Man. Do you remember that? I used to watch that when I was growing up.
I can't say I've watched it, but I've certainly seen things about
Banana
Man.
Well, he starts, he's a bit like when Superman turns from whatever he's called to Superman. Like Banana Man, he was Eric. He was Eric during the day. And then when he needed to switch into Superman, Banana Man, he would go, Eric is Banana Man.
Yeah. What could Eric Cole shout as he's walking down 18, having just won the Sony Open?
Well, we shall see. We shall see. Maybe just go into his Newcastle bro. Wait, hey, man! I know that's a bit juvenile for me to do that, but it always reminds me of Geordie's. You know, when my eyelids is just what they say, what Geordie say just for fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it was Newcastle Sunderland at the weekend, wasn't it? So I'm sure. Yeah. Those shouts in the stands of the Stadium of Light.
Richest club in the world, man! That's such a terrible accent, isn't it?
That's not bad, actually. Well, I mean, I'm not Geordie, so I can't really comment on it.
But no, we'll leave that to the comments here. I'm probably offending all sorts of Geordies here. But yeah,
we've offended Geordies, Hunters.
We still haven't. The Rottweiler fans still haven't forgiven us, have they? But... Yeah, we like dogs. Maybe yeah, richest club in the world. Is it worth being the richest club in the world with all these financial fair play rules, though? I mean, just to slip into football, you can't sign anyone here. It doesn't matter how rich you are if you can't sign anyone, does it?
Well, I think there's ways around it, but it's not done them particularly proud this season, is it? They've been slightly off piste. Anyway, enough about Newcastle.
Yeah, sorry, we're slipping into other sports.
We do that often. Who's up next, Steve? Sorry, I've done that mid-gulp of your full fat diet.
We can't assign anyone, man. Sorry. Harris English. Harris English.
Okay. Teased us last week.
Keeping the faith. He was slow out the blocks last week, but closing rounds of 66, 64 and 69 meant a share of 14th place. Loves teeing up in Hawaii. Won the century in 2021. He was fourth in the Sony Open in 2014. He was third in the Sony Open in 2015. He performed well in some elite company last year. Second at Bay Hill, third at Quail Hollow, eighth in the US Open. And he was sixth in the driving accuracy stats last week. That's really encouraging for English fans like me. If he's finding fairways, he's a title threat because his short game has always been mustard. I think a fifth PGA Tour title on Sunday, entirely feasible for Harris English.
Yeah, was one of those mentioned earlier, Steve, that was really kind of flip-flopping in the leaderboards. I checked it on the Thursday. That all could be game over here for poor old Harris, and then sort of lured us in and spat us back out.
Well, absolutely, that's it. With the late night stuff, it's hard for people to keep on top of it unless they're like my old man. Yeah, I saw my old man on whatever day it was, and he goes, Harris English is going well, and he likes to keep abreast of it all, and he was really excited about Harris English, but obviously, he was sort of a day behind there, and Harris English had dropped away a little bit. But I think Harris English is underrated. Yeah, you talk about Jorge Campillo, English is a world class player, who's capable of winning this.
Okay, Harris English on the list for the Sony Open. Who's next?
Justin Rose.
Oh,
the fine young man, 45-1, who tied the Kapalua course record on Sunday. a 12 under par round of 61. You might have missed it because he was deep on the ball, but he shot 12 birdies and six pars in a 61. You know, talk about finding your A game at the end of the first event of the year. He got off to a terrible start on Thursday. He shot a 71. He actually played the wrong ball on the seventh hole. Did you read about that one?
I thought you were going to say he played the wrong hole.
He played the wrong ball on the seventh fairway.
How did he do that? It's just the partner's ball.
Okay. It's a long story. I mean, Taylor Moore had switched up his ball. He was using a Titleist 2, and then he switched to a 1. I can't remember the details, but yeah, Taylor Moore is not on Justin Rose's Christmas.
Well, that's partly on Taylor Moore if he hasn't indicated that he swapped balls.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I don't think Justin Rose was too impressed with Taylor Moore, but the fine young man will shrug it off like the class act he is. But that was a 2-shot penalty for Justin Rose. And then he was having a ropey week. He shot a Saturday 75 out with the washing, but everything clicked on Sunday. And he'll be licking his lips about finding his A game before Waiala, because this course is ideal for Justin Rose. He won the Pebble Beach Pro-Am last year. He's back on the coast this week, of course. His last visit to the Sony Open was in 2017. He finished second. Four of his five Sony Open starts have resulted in a top 20 finish. So very excited about Rosie this week. You know, Harmon, Cole, English, Rose. You know, what a set of short game exponents I've got there. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
They've got the tools to reach this super low total we're going to need.
Is that four out of the five? I've lost track.
Yeah, that's four out of the five.
We've got one more to go. Go on then.
One more. And it's Adam Svensson at 50-1, a 30-year-old Canadian. He made his PGA Tour breakthrough in the 2022 RSM Classic. He's back by the coast this week. He's won three times on the Korn Ferry Tour. The first of them was in the Bahamas. So we may see some more island joy for him on Sunday. He's gone almost 7 months without missing a cut. Yeah, he's in rock solid form. He was seventh in the Wyndham Championship in August. Five of his last nine tournaments have resulted in a top 20 finish. He was fifth on his RSM Classic title defence in November. And last week, three closing rounds of 68. So 3-5 under par rounds for 33rd place in the century. He has a nice little pipe opener. And his Sony Open form figures are 43, 7, 41. So, I expect a PB on Sunday.
Pipe opener. You caught me slightly off guard then, Steve.
Have you opened your pipes yet this year? I mean, that's...
We do have a slight issue where we live with slightly smelly drains. So... Oh. Not pipe openers, but lots of
that's all down to you.
It's cleaners.
Fingers pointing at you from the neighbours.
Maybe if Svensson wins this week, I can hire someone professional to come and look at the drains. You never
know. That's it. Yeah. Don't get complacent with your pipes. That's another one of my mottos.
2024, the year of new Steve Palmer motto. I was going to mention Steve because I know we're both hugely fond of this player, and he was last year's winner, Siwoo Kim.
Yeah,
and we're coming into that time of the year, Siwoo Kim season, aren't we?
Yeah,
he's got the Amex next week as well, and we know all about Siwoo Kim at the Amex. How's Siwoo Kim faring at the moment?
It was very much on my radar, but I just feel this be such a low scoring week because we've had those showers early in the week. We're going to get some more on Thursday. I think it's going to be playing soft and easy. I just don't think Siwoo in a complete birdie fest is the man to be on, because his putting can be a little bit in and out, shall we say. It worries about Siwoo's putter that put me off. But obviously, defending champion every chance.
Absolutely. Okay, so that's wrapped up for the Sony Open. Looking forward to this week.
I'd say wrap it up. I think it would be remiss of us, and we might end up kicking ourselves if we don't mention Ludwig Aubert.
Let's run through the top of the market, actually, because there's some popular players, isn't there? You've got Max Fitzpatrick, Ludwig Aubert, and Tyrrell Hatton. I mean, so many fans of all three of those, and I'm sure plenty of punters will be playing at fairly juicy prices, really.
You're right. Ludwig has drifted to 16-1 this morning. And you have to be tempted at that price. I am tempted at that price because he was tailed off after three rounds last week and then closed with a 63. We saw at the RSM Classic what he can do on a short rain softened coastal track. You know, that RSM Classic venue was rain softened, playing slightly differently. You know, if this Sony Open track has taken a real drenching, similar conditions. But I just think driver, his best club is driver. Yeah, he's not gonna, you don't need many drivers at the Sony Open. And the biggest off-putting thing for me is this, yeah, this relationship with the new caddy is going to take time to develop, isn't it? Yeah, very bold move from Ludwig to sack his caddy that he's had all that success with, Jack Clark. I mean, Jack Clark was heartbroken. Aubert and Jack Clark had a great year together, but then Aubert decided he wanted a more experienced caddy on his bag. You know, Clark had never caddied in a major, you see. And, you know, Aubert poached Joe Skovron from Tom Kim. You know, it wasn't only Jack Clark that was sad about what was happening. Tom Kim was sad as well. You know, he lost his caddy, Joe Skovron. But, you know, we don't know at this stage. They've never met before this year, Aubert and Skovron. Yeah, we don't, you know, we don't know how their relationship's going to develop. They may end up hating each other. So that's the most off-putting thing for me. But obviously, Ludwig could win this. And you know, Tyrrell Hatton and Matt Fitzpatrick both 16-1. I think Ludwig Aubert at 16-1's a better bet. You know, all three of these players, just to conclude, all three of these players are Waialae debutants. And yeah, there's been a PGA Tour event at Waialae since 1965. You know, England have won a blooming World Cup football trophy since Waialae started as a PGA Tour venue. So you know, to turn up as a debutant at such a long established venue is a significant handicap, isn't it?
I must say, just on Tyrrell Hatton, I'm getting really tired of his tempered sort of tantrums. I know I like Tyrrell Hatton. He's a brilliant player, and there's something about him that we need characters in the game.
Yeah,
I'm just getting really bored of this kind of pettiness around the greens. Just grow up a little bit.
Well, yeah, he really was attacking the Capoeira course last week, wasn't he? And he shot a 62, didn't he, last week? And then after they asked him how he played, he said it was disgusting or something. It's almost like he has the complete opposite New Year's resolution of me. You know, he does his best to get his knickers in a twist. Yeah, he's not happy if he comes off the course and his knickers are in the same shape as they were when he started. He actively tries to ruffle his knickers.
Imagine if you were to act like that down your local members club, you would be thrown out. And I don't think it's a good impression to be setting.
I agree. Yeah. My son's, fortunately that tournament was too late for my son. He wasn't watching, but I wouldn't want my son to see him hacking away at the turf there. I mean, Sergio García did the worst one ever, didn't he, in the Saudi international event where he went bananas. Yeah, it isn't a good look. And there's no need for it. There's no need. But maybe his head's coming off because he's going to live. There's a lot of rumours about Tyrrell Hatton joining John Rahm on the live. Maybe he's I don't know. Who knows? But yeah, you're absolutely right. But the key point for puns is he's a Waialae debutant.
OK, great stuff, Steve. What's the plan for the rest of the week for you? Still, you know, the sun's shining early on in the week. So much excitement on the horizon. Great time to be you.
Stay warm is the key thing, and it is extremely. You know, watch a bit of snooker. I back Ronnie O'Sullivan.
147 yesterday, wasn't there?
Oh yeah. Ronnie, you know, defy. You know, come on, Ronnie. Yeah, I've always loved Ronnie, and it's great to see him having this resurgence in his late 40s. You know, he's 48 now. Is Ronnie? I'm 45. You know, he's inspiring the late 40 somethings that it's never too late to show your best. So I'm excited about Ronnie O'Sullivan winning the Masters. I'm excited about wet January. I'm a big advocate of wet January. I'm sure in protest to this fad, I actually increase my intake in January as much as possible to support pubs, you know, the poor old pub industry. Yeah, they don't like it when everyone's going, oh, I'm doing dry January, you know, do wet January, support the pub industry and improve your mental health.
Would I anger you if I told you I'm doing dry January?
No, you wouldn't anger me. You wouldn't anger me because pretty much everyone I know seems to be doing dry January apart from me.
I must say, I think because I had my first ever 0% beer last week. I was at a pub quiz and I thought I can't be in a pub and not have a beer. So I opted for a 0% Peroni. And the cost of a non-alcoholic beer is more than its alcoholic counterpart. I thought this is ridiculous.
It?
Yeah. So I tended to go for lime and soda after that.
That's poor, isn't it? That's not going to encourage you to do the right thing. They should be much cheaper, shouldn't they? And it's like electric cars. Yeah, they're not going to get anyone to buy an electric car when they're so expensive to run. And yeah, they need to be as cheap as chips as well. So don't get me started on electric cars. Don't get me started on non-alcoholic lager. But yeah, I'll be going to some pubs tomorrow night to support the pub industry. Keep the pub industry afloat.
Good on you, Steve. There's 8 selections across the 2 tournaments this week. We'll round things off with that. Get your pen and paper ready at home. We'll start with the Dubai Invitational.
Yannick Paul, Jorge Campillo, Nathan Kimsey.
And the Sony Open in Hawaii.
Brian Harman, Eric Cole, Harris English, Justin Rose and Adam Svensson.
Great stuff, Steve. Thank you, as always. Really looking forward to next week's episode as well, where we'll be previewing the American Express and the Dubai Desert Classic. So much to look forward to in 2024. Thanks for tuning in once more to The Sweet Spot. We will see you again next Tuesday. Bye-bye, everyone.
Save our pubs.